Today I'm going to talk about holding fast to God's word. The psalmist writes in Psalm 19, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living." Father, I pray today that we would make your word an integral part of our life, that we would not be scripturally illiterate, but that, Father, we would just cling to you, Lord, that we would be students of your word, not reading it out of obligation or legalism, but knowing that it gives us life. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to live successfully. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for the places where we have lackadaisically viewed your word. I pray, Lord, that we would make a commitment today to be students of your word, Father. In your name, amen. You know, one of the things that we've heard a lot about, and it's in the Christian realm, is that there's a movement called progressive Christianity. I know I had George Gray preach on it about a year ago. But I referenced it from crosswalk.com, and, you know, you could do weeks and weeks on what it is, but let me do a quick synopsis. There's a movement in progressive Christianity. You really take a lower view of the Bible, and by that I mean, you know, well, it was just a book that's a human book written by people. And I know that sounds absurd, but you would be amazed if I put a list of the pastors that are strong that now have fallen into that. There's one pastor that I've mentioned, I'm not going to mention his name, that he won't say the Bible says. He goes, well, you know, Paul says, because he wants to make the point a man wrote it, not the Holy Spirit. Another point is feelings are emphasized over facts. Well, you know, I can't believe that Jesus would send somebody to hell. I wish hell didn't exist. I wish that when people died without Christ, they would just become worm food and nothing would happen to their souls. But that's not what my Bible tells me. So we can't. I mean, and again, different people, like the gentleman, won't mention his name, wrote the book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye, walked away from the faith. And we see time and time again, powerful Christians that over time, they can't jibe the word of God with their emotions. And I understand, and there's a movement that the devil is bringing into the church, and he's luring Christians away. Another part, essential Christian doctrines are open to reinterpretation. Oh my goodness, is this true? Well, the Bible is archaic. They don't understand sexuality in 2023 in America. Read your history books. There's nothing new under the sun. God made them man and woman. There is one sex. I look at it this way. God created sex. I think he understands it. I've had a strong Christian say to me, you know, I think the Bible got it wrong about sex. I was dumbfounded, the person I was sitting across the table from. Why? Because we want to live sexually immoral and we want to rationalize it. We redefine historic terms. God won't punish sinners. He is love. It's Mother's Day. Hey, moms, do you ever love your kids enough to let them not like you? I hope so. What does Proverbs say? If you do not discipline your child, you hate them. I could do a whole sermon on that, but I'm not going to today. Can I say something without being ageist? This has infiltrated the born-again youth of America, this next statement. It's not our job to talk about sin. It's our job just to love them. You know what I like about Anthony and Randy, my elders? When I mess up, they love me enough to tell me. I don't want yes people. My wife, she's up in nursery today, but she's a very loving and kind person. You should see some of the conversations she lovingly tells me over dinner. No, that I need to hear. She doesn't, but why am I saying that? Because I have seen so much that has infiltrated the church, and it has impacted the younger generation. And I'm not trying to belittle you guys whatsoever, but it's a truth that says, you know, like, we were in home group years back, and there was a young couple, and the question was, what would you do if one of your best friends was really in sin? And one of the answers was, I'd really pray that God would reveal it to him. I agree with that. He does it through you. So forget the fact, I mean, we're not in a Barney the elephant, whatever that purple thing was, world where everything's hunky-dory. We're in a world where we gotta love people. My mama said when Mel was pregnant, you gotta love your kids enough to let them hate you sometimes. And I did, and it hurt. But I wanted big picture, not short term. We're not here to be everybody's friend. I like what Jan said. You know, I felt like we needed to hear that because God wants us to apply ourselves, but Christianity is work. Oh, great, salvation is free. It is. It's a free gift of God, but it costs you everything. You need to surrender your life fully to Jesus. And also, the focus of the gospel message shifts from sin and redemption to social justice. The Bible does command us to care for the unfortunate and to defend the oppressed, but the core message is that Jesus died for our sins, was buried and resurrected, offering us reconciliation with God. I liked what George Gray said last week. It's about our heart. I remember when I was a young man, I went to church with a buddy of mine. I'm in junior high, and the pastor spoke the whole time about the Vietnam War. I never went back to church for years. I didn't want to hear that in church. I meant to say, forgive me, there's a box back there on the stage. They have baby bottles for the Family Resource Center. You take one, you fill it up with cash, extra change, checks, whatever you find in your husband's wallet. You just yank it and you just fill it up all you can. And we're going to collect them Father's Day. Forgive me for not talking about it. So I would ask you to please take one from that box. It's a good thing. But I need God to change me. I was mowing my lawn yesterday, and I was laughing. I remember when I first got saved, and we had a work day at a place called Ontario Bible Camp. It's like in 1981. And I'm thinking, these people are nuts. I'm in college. I go to college Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sunday, I go to church. Saturday is Dickie Day. You know what I'm saying? And I will pray for the deliverance of these people that don't know how to live on Saturday. It was made for SU football. But what happened? God got a hold of me. And he changed me. And he changed my heart, where I became more of a servant, not out of obligation, but that's who I was. One of the things, I'm not going to digress too far, I wanted to see some of your faces when he said last week, I would vote for a born-again Democrat more than I would a Republican. I thought that was an amazing point, because guess what? Some Christians, I think they've misplayed their cards. And why did he say that? Now, I got to admit, I don't understand how some born-again Christians can hold some of the point of views they do, but the point he was making is God can change that heart. God changes my heart. I'm transformed, so we got to be careful to hold fast to God's word. There's a battle taking place in the church, and the Bible tells us that it's coming. The key is we have to know the Bible, we have to trust it, and we have to cling to it. I have said so many times, if I speak on Sunday morning from the Bible, I don't want you to just agree with everything I say. It is your job to read it and make sure I am preaching truth over opinion. Today's a day we honor and appreciate Mom. You know, we got together with our daughter and her husband and little grandbaby and Plaskai yesterday. Man, we're walking through the park. We had a great time. I just loved watching the patience she has with him. But you know what I learned? The most important thing you can teach a child is to really hold fast to the Word of God. You see, the Bible is true now, yesterday, and forever. Knowing the Bible is key to spiritual health. Talking about perfect joy. How do you make sure you don't stray? You keep in God's Word. You pray and you read it and you do what it says. You know, verse 7 says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect in Psalm 19, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. God revives the soul. When life really is hard, I spend time in the Psalms. I love the honesty of David. I love how David would minister to his own soul and not let his emotions dictate how he was to live. You see, God's Word gives us support. It gives us hope. It gives us encouragement. I find Sunday morning between 10 o'clock and like 11:15, my faith is incredible. I am super Christian. Why is it I can preach on a topic on Sunday and struggle with that very topic on Tuesday? Because I'm a human being. But that's where I get into God's Word. And I know He's going to uphold me. I know He will never leave me alone. I know that He's with me every single step of the way. Knowing God's Word reassures us in the hard times. A lot of times our emotions are at odds with what the Bible says, which makes false teachings very nice to hear. It tickles our ears, makes us feel good. 2 Timothy says, a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teachings. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Francis Chan, don't fall into the trap of studying the Bible without doing what it says. The more you ignore the Bible, the more the philosophies of the world will make sense to you. I do not like to deny myself, but I need to grow in the Lord. It talks about self-control. Francis Chan of Chinese descent. He said, if the Bible said Chinese men had to walk on their hands all day long, I would not like it, but I would do it. Why? It's what the Bible says. We have to embrace the fullness of the Bible. We have to do it in a way where we have humility and we are teachable. I've been reading Genesis. You know, God created man and woman. And what He says to Adam and Eve, I'm thinking, wow, do we see that coming into play? What's He say to Eve? You're going to want to take the place of the husband. Do we see that happening in the world today with gender identification, et cetera, et cetera? And different roles are not one's better or one's worse. It's just a different role. You know, we need to be teachable. I like what John Bevere says. Believe what you read. Didn't type that right, did I? No. Let's go to the next one. Forget I said, believe what you read. Don't read what you believe. Oh, I got a doctrine, and I could do this. Why do we do mainly expository teachings? Because I could stand up here and do a topical teaching, and I could make it say whatever I wanted it to say. So to not misquote Bevere, believe what you read. Don't read what you believe. Let's talk about a topic y'all love. Put a smile on your face. It's called tithing. So I'm working for the church. It's September 1987. Yes, I'm old. And I didn't do this church thing growing up. So I was pretty happy that Melody and I were tithing off, you know, the net. Till our pastor did a teaching and he talked about it's on gross. And that was gross. Because it was a big jump that we had to do. We did it, praise God. Did I like it? Are you nuts? I like money. But God's word spoke to us. And we said, Lord, we have to obey you. Again, did my emotions, did I skip down the street to that? No, I repented and moved forward. By God's grace, I repented to the pastor, and he goes, from today on, do what you're going to do. Don't worry about yesterday. Verse 8, Psalm 19 goes, the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. You want joy in your life? Just give your life to Jesus. Not this part. Not that, the whole thing. You know what I'm tired of? Margaritaville Christians. I am going to be a Christian here, but I am living my life to party outside of the church. Good. You want joy in your... And I'm not talking against lifestyles. I like to have fun too. There is no greater joy than obeying God. Saying, yes, Lord. It gives me a joy that is insurmountable. I remember the before Christ days, Morrisville, New York. Stricken age is 18. I'm going to college. And let me tell you, I could go to bed really thinking I was happy. Then Saturday morning came, and I found out this really didn't. And I would have this depression grip me. And I'd go to bed that night and just be honest, man, wondering, do I want to live? Then I met this guy named Jesus. And life just turned perfect, like in the Christian movies. You pray, and before you hit the door, your prayers were answered. Maybe it doesn't work that way for you, but man, it does for me. Or not. But you can't take my joy. You can take my body, you can take my health, but you can't take my joy. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Dick, do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. You want perfect joy? Give yourself fully to the Lord. 2 Peter says, this is my second letter to you, dear friends. I'm doing a Bible study with some other friends. We're doing 2 Peter, and it's really been ministering to me. This is my second letter to you, dear friends. In both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophet said, the Bible is to us, said long ago, and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, glad we're not there, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. The struggle is real. I know life's hard. I get that. I know that we live in warfare. I understand that. I understand that being a Christian is harder and harder. But we have to understand the emphasis of the Bible, not our obligation of legalism. And let me tell you, I mean, we have New Living Translation Bibles. If you don't have one, grab one on your way out. If there's none back there, we got more I can give you. I don't get a cut from God for every Bible that is read. I don't care if it's the ESV, NIV, NAS, New Living Translation. I don't care if it's the Picture Bible. I learned when I read that to my kid. Well, I do care. Don't read that. But what I'm saying is read the Bible. A Gallup poll says in July of last year, 20%, only 20% of the American population believes the Bible to be true word for word. We continually see Christians that we viewed as strong, that were in the limelight, come and denounce the Bible, be it somebody from Hillsong, somebody from the original DC Talk, that they reinterpret the Bible to fit their scheme of how they want to view life. And that's wrong. Let me say something. Backsliding from Jesus is a slow process. I'll give myself grace to not attend. And guess, if you're watching today, if you can be in church, you should be in church. Sorry. Those are the facts. If you don't like it with me, take it up with God, who said you should be in church in Hebrews. It's a slow fade when we cut grace and we cut corners, and I watch it every single day, every year, and it breaks my heart. It wakes me up at night. I can't shake it out of people. If you don't stay close to God, the world's going to be too appealing. Peter says, people are going to scoff at the Bible. I was watching this video as a satanic priestess, and they're having their service. And she takes the Bible, and she starts ripping it and throwing it, ripping it and throwing it, and everybody's cheering. Here's my question. Why the Bible? Why didn't she use the Quran? Why didn't she use the Buddhist, I think it's called Tripitaka, or the Vedas, which is Hinduism? Why didn't she grab one of those books? Why? They're on the same team. Jesus said, you are either with me or against me. Narrow is the road. Why don't they use like the Quran, forgive me? Because it's not the word of God. Satan is behind that. That sounds so harsh. Jesus said it, not me. You are either for me or against me. Psalmist says, allow God's word to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I'm not trying to break on other religions, but they're false religions. All roads don't lead to heaven. You know, I shared with you years ago, I had a good friend of mine speak here, had a ministry in Syracuse. We go to lunch, and he's admitting to me, I'm thinking everybody goes to heaven because Jesus died for sins. So I brought up some very gruesome person from the past. He said, oh, no, not them. I said, now you're God? Now you're God? And you get to define who goes to heaven by rating? I don't think it works that way. Praise God he came back to the fold, not through my words, but by the grace of God, believe me. Watch TV. Well, you know, when you watch TV, usually if there's a pastor or a Christian, they're a gun-toting nut job that's far to the right and just wants to kill the world. They're never sane. Now, some of that's our fault because there's a lot of people out there that aren't saying they call themselves Christians, and I get that. But it's a spiritual thing that we see happening. Yes, we live in a country that thinks it's okay to have drag queens read to little kids in a library. Jesus, help us. But it's deception. Don't get mad at them. Get mad at the devil. That's why we're here, to be lights in this world. We see it rampaging through the world so much in different lifestyle choices. I love Ezekiel that, you know, we sang about it last week. We have to embrace the Bible and allow God to bring dry bones to life. Last point we're going to make today. The lifestyles of the rich and famous. Actually, I don't care. I was just kind of struggling with my last subtopic. So, lifestyle of the rich and famous. I was looking at this video of famous people's houses. Holy moly. There are people that have pools as big as this room. It is really cool. But I'm not going to emulate them. I'm not going to emulate the person that's in the NBA Finals and listen to his point on religion and the political world. I'm going to emulate and copy people that love Jesus Christ. You know, Mel's mama, I saw her go through all kinds of trials. Physical. Emotional. But you know what you couldn't do with Patty Dockstader? You couldn't take away her love for Jesus Christ. And I saw her pick herself up time after time again and just keep pressing on at a very strong personal cost. Let me tell you, parents, moms, fathers, tell your people about Jesus. Tell your kids about the Lord. You know, my parents weren't Christians until the end of their lives. God's working in me. I couldn't talk to them about it because they didn't understand. So I talked to my mother-in-law. And sometimes, man, it just really broke my heart that I couldn't go share the joy of Jesus with my parents. Of course I did. I shared my testimony with them. But man, you know what? Just keep trusting the Bible. You know, last week George talked about how River Life Fellowship is going through the New Testament this year. And I said, you know, starting in January, I want to take a 2-year plan of read through the whole Bible. It's going to stretch you because it's a whopping 1.63 chapters a day, but I think we can do it. We babysat a grandson this week. And he has this box that has all these different colors and shapes. Then he has all these various blocks. And sometimes a 17-month-old mind doesn't understand the blue star really doesn't fit in the yellow triangle hole. It doesn't work. So we help him, and I would teach him, which means I would start it and he'd push it in. Why do we sometimes take the blue squares of our life and try to put them in the green triangle hole when it comes to obeying the Bible? And then life doesn't work. We go, God, what's going on here? Those of you at home, I'm still around. This verse just came to my mind, so please bear with me. Psalm 66, come and listen, all you who fear God. I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. This is trying to put the round circle in the green triangle. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. I feel like I'm supposed to share this right now. Sometimes We have an agitation in our soul because we're not living God's way. Now, please don't hear me say that if you have a sin struggle that God has forsaken you. No, I believe there's a difference between struggle and repentance and giving your life over to something, which is what I call Margaritaville Christianity. So what the psalmist is saying here, if I didn't confess my sin, the Lord would not have listened? Are you sure that's in the Bible? Yes. Sometimes God can't hear us because we have broken the connection. What joy for those you choose to bring near, those who live in your holy courts. What festivities await us inside your holy temple. So the point I'm making is we got to listen. It said he does listen, pays attention to our prayer. We can't ignore what God is doing. If you want inner peace and you want joy, we need to turn to the Lord. Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I'm tired of watching people walk away from God. I'm tired of that heartbreak. We need to make the Bible important to us. I get frustrated by seeing believers just tap the surface of their potential because they're afraid to go all in. And as you know, as Cynthia said, you sweep away the cobwebs and the spiders and the black junk. And if you don't know what she means, talk to her afterward. And Jan said, you have to apply yourself. We have to be active. The Bible doesn't come through osmosis. It's the Word of God. It's alive. Do you know how many years ago it was written? Yes! But I know the author too. And you know what I think is so cool? Not one word of the Bible, and people have tried, has ever been proven false. So we need to read the Bible. It's alive. Last point, would you close your eyes? Last point I want to make is, hopefully, keep the Bible a part of your life. Like I said, be praying, because I'm really, what we've done in the summer in the past, I'm really thinking about maybe for July doing a Bible study on Wednesday nights. I'm in a couple outside Bible study, and it's cool. It's cool to sit down with brothers in the Lord, and we talk about 2 Peter and how God ministers to them, and it blesses me. Or I sit down at Artie's hometown diner in Pulaski, and Mike Bartholomew and I talk about John 7, man. You know, and we just have a good time talking about the Bible. And as I read it, it becomes alive to me. And I know how it is. Some days you're reading the Bible, and you're clicking on all cylinders. Some days you're reading it, and you get nothing. I get it, but the Word of God does not come back void. So just because you may not be feeling it that day, you keep pressing on. And sometimes, rather than read four, this is what I loved about my father-in-law. He wouldn't read four chapters a day. He'd read one chapter, but he read it four times so that it would sink in. So, Lord, we come before you right now. I know it's Mother's Day, and I know there's activities planned. And, Father, thank you for families. Thank you that we're a family, Lord God. Lord, I pray for Frances right now. I know she's going through some stuff. I just pray for that woman, Lord God, that you would touch her. And I pray for everybody in this room, Lord. Father, it's easy for a pastor to get up before the congregation and preach about you need to read the Bible. Because it's true. I need life. I admit to you, Lord, there's times I would rather be reading NBA news on my phone than Leviticus. But I know your word brings life, Lord. Just like when I was a kid, I would much rather have their brownie than to have to eat green beans. But the green beans are good for me. What am I saying, Lord? Forgive us for the place we have not made your holy word important to us. Forgive me for the places when I've been lackadaisical, Lord. Father, I know you love us. We sang this song about the 99. You will come after us, Lord. So no matter what state we're in, we're not here to be condemned today, maybe convicted. But I pray for your encouragement to permeate every heart here this morning, Lord. That you love us. The thing I love about you, Lord, when I come and say, man, would you forgive me, God? You just brush that thing away. You open up your arms and say, man, let's keep going. That is so cool. As I was hanging out with my little grandson yesterday, walking in the park, he's holding my hand. Well, my finger actually, we're just walking around. I couldn't help but think, that's how much you value your time with us. Oh, maybe we can't physically feel it. And maybe sometimes we don't emotionally feel it. But I pray that we would return to our first love, Lord God. That we would embrace your word. And that we would say yes to you, Lord Jesus. Bless these marvelous people, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great day. I just want to encourage you, if the Bible hasn't been a strong part of your life, just start reading the Psalms. Don't, and have a little piece of paper with you, and when God speaks to you, write it down. Blessings, and have a wonderful day. I love you guys.